In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Do not forget that the kingdom of the devil is on this earth. It's not in hell, but it is here on this earth. So every event that happens in this world has a spiritual component to it. Don't write off plagues with viruses, illnesses with bacteria, storms with weather patterns, or chronic ailments with simply family history or lifestyle choices. Those explanations are not entirely wrong, but neither are they entirely complete. We have been so conditioned by science that we've lost sight of the spiritual aspect to this world, to storms and floods and droughts and famines and sickness and illness and suffering, and the list goes on. We want a physical, scientific explanation for everything at the expense of the spiritual. And so we look to our ancestors in the past, and we look down on them for building gargoyles, for saying, "God bless you," when you sneeze, for having a lucky charm, and for crying out to God in the midst of a storm. We're more rational, we think. We know better. But if we were more rational, we wouldn't have thrown the baby out with the bathwater. Superstition is one thing, confessing Scripture is another, and Scripture is clear that the devil's kingdom is not resigned to hell, but it is here on this earth, and he afflicts man on this earth. Have you not read in 2 Samuel 24 where the devil himself moved David to count his people in a census? And that stoked the anger of God to bring punishment and judgment on David and his people? Have you not read in Daniel chapter 10, where the devils, the demons, incited the court of the Persians to commit evil? If the demons can work in governments back then who's to say they still don't today? It's not supernatural. But they lead men to commit atrocities that you may say are rational decisions, and yet are contrary to the word of God and Scripture. Sure, we could blame the men who are in such positions, and we should hold them accountable for what they have decided, but can we completely write off the demons in every situation? The godly king, David, fell into such a sin. So who's to say it can't happen today? Have you not read in Luke chapter 13 how the devil made a woman disabled for 18 years? She was bent over. Have you not read in Luke chapter 11 where a demon made a man mute? We all know of Legion, the man who was possessed by demons and he could break chains with his bare hands. And since we don't see any supernatural events in muteness or in disabilities, we assume that the devil has absolutely nothing to do with those things. So we blame only viruses or genetics or culture or something else. But who's to say the devil can't send viruses, plagues, and genetic disabilities even? Why does it have to be one or the other? Why can't it be both and? Now, that's not to say that everyone who suffers from a disability has received that from the devil, nor is everyone in the Scripture who is presented in that way said to have been made so by a demon. But have you not read how Satan works? That chiefly he does not work through supernatural means, but he works through the established means of this world. That is, he works through science. Have you not read how he destroyed Job's family and all of Job's possessions? Not with any supernatural work, but with a foreign army coming and raiding his lands, carrying off his possessions and killing the servants. With fire falling from the sky, and with a windstorm that collapsed the house where his children were. The devil does not chiefly work through supernatural means, but he works through the established means of this world. That is why he is called the prince of the ruler of this air. That is why his kingdom is on this earth. He is seeking to gain control now, and he does that chiefly through what we call science. And yet still we snicker at Dr. Luther for crying out to St. Anne in the midst of a thunderstorm. And yes, it is wrong to pray to a saint or any other angel. It is wrong to pray to them always. But is it wrong to cry out to God in the midst of trouble? Do not our Lutheran confessions teach us to cross ourselves and then to cry out to God when anything monstrous or terrible is seen or heard? And have we learned nothing from these windows except that they're beautiful? Have we not been taught that our God is the King of heaven and earth, the ruler of the winds and the waves? Or are we simply ignoring what is around us? But we explain the devil away, and inadvertently we explain God away with weather patterns and viruses and genetics and bacteria, and so we don't cry out to God for help. Instead, we look to doctors. We look to governments. We look to a well-constructed building to protect us from whatever is out there. These things are good and godly. They are gifts of God. But why does it have to be either or? Why would we throw the baby out with the bathwater? Don't write off the spiritual component just because you have a scientific explanation for such things. Why can't it be both? Why can't the devil use science even as God does? As God is not only concerned with eternal life, but also with your life on this earth, so also the devil is not simply concerned with your eternal fate, but he is also concerned with you right here, right now. He wants you to eat your bread in misery, to have no joy on any given day. He wants to rob you of your eyesight and your hearing and your speech and your mental faculties and even your physical abilities. And he will use whatever sciences he can, whatever God permits him, in order to accomplish that. He wants you to live your life in fear, in constant worry of what will happen next because a government or a person or the internet or someone said this, that, or the other thing. How can we not see these things for what they truly are when we have been called to live without worry and to live trusting in God? Again, it goes far too far. It goes much too far to say that all of these things are of the devil, but it is also far too little to say that none of them are, just because we can explain them. So rather than trying to figure out which is which of course is impossible, why not rather just simply heed the word of God and cry out to him? Why not see storms spiritually, famines spiritually, droughts spiritually, floods spiritually, wars spiritually, even glasses, arthritis, hearing aids, all spiritually? That is, why not see them as calls to repentance and faith, even if science can explain them? We know the devil is not just simply a real being. We know he is active in this world, but we often forget how he works, that he works through the natural created order as much as he can. So it means absolutely nothing if you can explain it. That does not mean it is not of the devil. And I'll point you back to those passages of David and Job and the Persian courts as examples. So why not use such events in nature and in governments to flee temptation and to cry out to God for help so that we might cling to Christ in faith? Whether it was the devil's doing or not then becomes irrelevant, for let faith guard your body by folding your hands and bowing your head and crying out to the one who created the body. Be on your guard against the devil and against explaining him away, lest you inadvertently explain away your need for Jesus. Be strong and courageous. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the devil and these demons who are constantly tempting you through all sorts of things, even through science, so that your confidence and trust and hope might rest in someone else other than Christ. And so that is why God at times permits the devil to afflict the body, so that in these little things we might overcome and call out to God, so that when a greater trial arises and we're called to question God's love, we might hold firm in the faith. God allows the lesser to guard you against the greater. So in happiness, we must never become elated. In sadness, we must always be on our guard against the devil. When we pray, study scripture, or fast, we must always beware of Satan's lies. We live in great danger to body and soul, so take up the shield of faith, by which you can extinguish all the arrows of the evil one. And also take up a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, so that you can pray. A sword is not used for defensive purposes, but it is used for offensive purposes. So how can we fight against and even go on the offensive against the devil and his minions when we are nothing more than dust and ashes? By prayer. The devil knows the Bible better than we do, so we pray. In prayer, we attack the devil by throwing ourselves onto the promises of God in Christ. So it may feel silly and awkward at first, but you need to pray out loud. Because there is no message of Scripture that says the devil can hear what is inside of your head or heart. But there is a promise that when you pray, the devil will flee from you. So pray out loud. For where you pray, the devil cannot remain. Because prayer holds fast to the one who has won the victory and allows us to pray confidently to our Father. It is Christ who is our victor. It is Christ who holds the field forever, whether that field is a desolate Judean wilderness, a difficult doctor's office, a grassy cemetery, or our own comfortable bedroom. When the devil is present, it becomes an hour of temptation, but when Christ is there, then the devil must flee. So pray. Pray out loud. For Christ is the victor who overcame the devil in this wilderness and once again on the cross. What had begun today is completed on Calvary. Cry out to him who crushed the serpent's head. Pray to him who calls you his brother and his sister. Why would you delay? Why would you put it off till tomorrow? Why would you rather finish whatever menial task you are carrying out first? Pray to him who has promised to hear. Why wait until it is more serious or life-threatening? Defend yourself with prayer, for Christ alone is the conqueror. God permits the devil's assaults to test and to prove your faith. So every event is a call from God to repentance and faith, that is, to look away from yourself and to cry out to the one who alone can save. He alone is the God of the wind and the waves. The devil tries to usurp this world and to exert his control, but he can only go so far as God would allow him. God alone is King of heaven and earth, which means that he alone is in charge of sickness and health, in chronic struggles and in plagues. He alone is the Lord of this world. So every aspect of your life has a spiritual aspect to it. Everything done in a government also has a spiritual aspect to it, as well as a scientific. We're not trying to pit one against the other. We're not discarding one in favor of only the other. But we recognize the will and responsibility of man and also the work of the devil and the work of God. So cry out to him in prayer. Pair your eating with prayer, your sleeping with prayer, your waking up with prayer, your work with prayer. Pray continually, not simply so that you may have a good work day or a good night's sleep, but that you might be defended against all the crafts and lies of the devil and all the harm he desires for your soul and for your body. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood. It is against the devil and those forces of evil. So fight then, not with swords, clubs, or spears, not with protests or votes even. Those are all useless. But fight with prayer. Speak back to God the promises that he has made to you. Gird yourself with the word. Strengthen your knees with his promise in Christ, knowing that in Christ, the devil is crushed underneath your feet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.